Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph, and we're holding at the bottom of Mem Amud Beit at the two dots, three lines up. So we had some discussion yesterday about shailas that were asked at the time from Ravuna, and Rabba talked about yesterday the shaila that he had about saying Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. And now Rabbi says, by the way, there was another shaila that I asked also when I was learning by Ravuna. And I asked him what the din would be about a tainis. A barbe rav de yosi b'tanita b'malei shabbat amal lashlume. Somebody, it was a Talmud Chochem, and he is keeping a tainis on Erev Shabbos, and indeed it's brought that it used to be the minhag of Anshei Maisa that they would fast on Erev Shabbos, in order that when they came into Shabbos, they would be hungry, and that way they would be mekayim the mitzvahs of Erev Shabbos with a greater gusto. L'maisa we paskin not to do that nowadays, and it's become the minhag not to fast on Erev Shabbos unless it's absolutely necessary. This coming year, we will be fasting on Erev Shabbos. It's one of the very rare times that Asarah B'Teves comes out on Erev Shabbos. Anyway, so I asked the Ravuna, if somebody is fasting on Erev Shabbos, does he continue fasting all the way into the night, which means that he would wait until Tzedek Ochavim in order to be able to eat on Shabbos? Let's say he davened Ma'ariv early, so it's already Shabbos for him. Does he have to keep the tainis? There's also Rishonim that understand that for sure he can't keep the tainis in Shabbos after Shkia. And that the only shaila is over here whether you should keep the tainis after davening. His ma'ariv, does he have to keep after shkia? But almost everyone disagrees with that. So anyway, he didn't know. Ravuna didn't answer. Lo ave biyad. So then when I came to learn by Rabbi Yehuda, I asked him also. And he also didn't know. So Rava said, you know what, let's try to figure this out on our own over here since we don't have any information. And it says like this, Tisha B'Av, Shechal Yiyot B'Shabbat. So how about if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos? Now obviously, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, we don't keep Tisha B'Av, we push it off to Yom Rishon. Or it would be the same thing if Erev Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, because the same thing, basically, Tisha B'Av that comes out on Shabbos becomes an Erev Tisha B'Av, so to speak. So normally, you would stop eating, you would make a Suras Hamafsekes, which is limited to just a few basic things. You're not allowed to have meat or wine and so on and so forth. And we would stop early. But what about if it's Shabbos? So then the halacha is, ochel v'shoteh kol tzorchol. There's no such thing as eating a suda hamafsekes on Shabbos. You eat and you drink whatever it is that you want. During the time when Shlomo HaMelech was at his greatest, and he brought up all incredible sudas, you can have that right before Tisha B'Av. Chaliyot Tisha B'Av be'erev Shabbat. And even if Tisha B'Av would come out on an Erev Shabbat, which nowadays it doesn't, but was possible, the way in which, before the calendar, depending on how they would have to make the year, it would be shayach for Tisha B'Av to come out on an Erev Shabbat. So what do we do? Before Shabbos, we bring him a kibetza, just that he should be able to eat one betza size. And that is the maximum that he would be able to eat. But the reason that we give it to him to eat, because up to there it's not considered to be a su'udah kavua, is kedei shelo yikanes l'shabbat kishu mi'une. We don't want a person to enter Shabbos in a state of tainus, where he's suffering. And you see from here that even a tainus tzibor, like Tisha B'Av, you don't keep on Friday night. As soon as it's Shabbos, you have to eat something. You can't come into Shabbos when you're fasting. Actually, Tanya, by the way, Tosfos brings a Kabbalah that they had, that actually the Maisa over here was that this Maisa we're about to have, that Pamachat Ayinu Yoshvim Lifnei Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Yehuda did not know the facts. It happened, they have a Kabbalah, that it happened that Rabbi Yehuda didn't realize that the doctors had been mechayev of Rabbi Akiva to eat something because he was in a dangerous health situation. So he was mesukan. They held that he had to eat. Rabbi Yehuda thought that it was stamp that he was eating, as we'll see, in order to show the Talmidim the halacha. So it was a Tisha B'Av that came out on an Erev Shabbos in that year, because they were still being Mekadesh Api Ari'iya, and they brought him to Rabbi Akiva, a Beitza Megugelet, so it was a hard egg, and he swallowed it without salt, and it's not that he was hungry. Rabbi Yehuda understands. It's not that Rabbi Akiva was hungry for it. He swallowed it la'arot tamidim la'halacha. That if a person, I mean, obviously, you're not considered to be fasting on Shabbos if you don't feel like eating, right? So, I mean, are you mechuyev to eat all day Shabbos? You can't stop eating for 1 minute because you're fasting? Obviously not. What we're talking about is if a person is in pain from fasting, that then he's not allowed to fast on Shabbos. So I understood that Rabbi Akiva, I could see, he didn't want to eat this egg. But the reason that he ate it on Tisha B'Av was in order to show that the halacha is that you, if you're suffering from your tainus, you're mechuyev to eat and not enter Shabbos while you're suffering. Now, and as I said, the Tosis brings that that isn't really what happened. What happened was that he was ill, and Rabbi Yehuda took his lack of appetite of just being something that he's forcing, and he didn't understand the case. Anyway, but this is a Kabbalah that isn't in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, but Rabbi Yossi argues. Rabbi Yossi says, Mis ane umashlim, you have to complete even into Shabbos. So when Tisha B'Av is on a Friday, we do complete. Okay, so that means we have a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, whether you need to be mashlim a tainis. Omer lehem Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi said to the Chachomim, Rabbi Yehuda and his friends, whoever were arguing with him, I don't understand you guys. Aren't you masking that on a Tisha B'Av, that's on a Sunday, right? So when do you stop eating? You stop eating while it's still daylight on Shabbos. And it's the last 10 minutes of Shabbos. You're not going to eat. You're going to be mafsik before Tisha B'Av. Yes, aval. The last minute, we're certainly going to be mafsik in order to make sure that we're not eating on Tisha B'Av. Absolutely. So I don't understand, says Rabbi Yossi. So in other words, what you're saying is that you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. I understand. It's a minute. Okay, fine. So it's a minute. So a minute before the end of Shabbos, you're going to be fasting. So I understand what the difference is. Over here, in a minute at the beginning of Shabbos, you're going to be fasting. 10 minutes, whatever, until the Tzeza Kochavi. And over here, 10 minutes before the end of Shabbos, you're going to be fasting. So that means you agree. Marli l'kanes b'kashul mu'neh, marli l'tzeik b'meneh kashul mu'neh. If a guy feels that he needs to eat, so if he's leaving Shabbos in a state of inui, why is that different than coming into Shabbos in a state of inui? Amrlo, they said to Rabbi Yossi, I mean, are you kidding? The guy's been fressing a whole day. Right? So now there's 10 minutes that he's not going to be able to fress. And he's still hungry. No, and not the end of the world. So that's l'tzeik b'meneh. The guy was eating, drinking the whole day. You're going to tell me we should bring a riot from that? The guy's been fasting for 24 hours. And yeah, what's the difference? So it's a few minutes on Shabbos. And the guy's miserable. So tomer l'kanes b'kishum m'muneh shelo achal v'shatak kol hayom kor. And in fact, ulo paskin, the talach is like Rabbi Yossi, and that we have to continue until tzeisa kochavim. What? Miavdina Karibiosi? You're telling me that that's how we paskin, according to Ulo Vramini? Doesn't it say, Beferish in the Mishnah in Tainis, that Ein Gozrin Ta'anita Latzibur Broshe Chadashim B'Chanukah U'Bepurim? So, we never make a Tainis on Chanukah or Purim on Rosh Chodesh, but what if they had started a Sheni Chamishi Sheni series that was needed in order to be fasting on the Gishamim until it started to rain? So there, if they had already started, then it turns out one of the days comes out on Rosh Chodesh, or on Chanukah, or Purim, you're not mafsik. Then you do fast. So says Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Meir said, even though so said Rabbi Gamliel, and we don't stop the series, but his moda, that we certainly are not mashlim, we don't fast the entire day, and what we do is we'll leave a little bit of the day that we'll eat in. And the same thing would be true about Tisha B'Av Shkaliot Be'erev Shabbat, even though we keep it as a tainis, but we won't keep it to the last minute of the day, meaning until Tzeita Kochavim, after the person was Bekabel Shabbos, at that point he shouldn't be fasting. Okay, so then how did Ula say we do like Rabbi Yossi? I mean, this is very confusing. And take a look at this. I mean, it says in a Braita, it was a whole story, that after Rabbi Gamliel was Nifter, so Rabbi Yoshua, he wanted to come into the Beis HaMedrash, And he wanted to paskin against Rabbi Gamliel that we should be mashma, even like Rabbi Yossi, in other words, even on an Erev Shabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was very upset about that. And he stands up in the Beis HaMedrash and he says, it seems to me pretty obvious that the normal way to act is that a body follows the head, and not that the head follows the body. So what are you doing over here? For all these years, Rabbi Gamliel was alive, Koyim of Rabbi Gamliel, we paskin halacha like him, and he said that you're not supposed to be mashlim. Now Rabbi Gamliel is dead, so now you're coming along, and now all of a sudden, so you don't have a head, so now the body is going to tell the head what to do. You. So, akshav atam vakeshul vatel dvarav. Yoshua, in shomim lacha. Garbage. We will not accept this change in the halacha. Shekvar nikba halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel, and there wasn't a single soul in that Beis HaMedrash that argued with Rabbi Yochanan and said that, no, we should change it. So we didn't change it. So obviously the halacha was like Rabbi Gamliel, and we are not mashlim. What are you telling me, Ula, that you're paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that we are mashlim? Says the Gemara, that's true. That's because b'dorosh Rabbi Gamliel, the minhag was that everybody had been mekabel that halacha, and that's the way they acted. But b'dorosh Rabbi Yossi, in Rabbi Yossi's door, that was completely a different door. And the Hebrew Rabbi Yossi was already a chaver with Rabbi Meir, basically, right? And therefore, they were a door that was later, after Rabbi Gamliel. So b'dorosh Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Yossi. Each door follows what it was they were doing. Ula was later, obviously, and Ula said that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi nowadays. Ubedorosh Rabbi Gamliel, Ovid Rabbi Gamliel. Is it true, though, that they ever did like Rabbi Gamliel? Didn't Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadik say that I personally come from the Sina'a ben Binyamin, it should say, and this was remembered that they made a Korban Ha'etzim in the days of Ezra. That if there it was very, very difficult because of the matzav in Eretz Yisrael to get the wood for the Mizbeach. And various mishpachas had donated that they would go out and they would search and they would bring the wood and so on. And they were koveya that all of those families are supposed to make a yontiv on the day that they were zochet to bring that wood to the Mizbeach. It was a personal yontiv, a private yontiv that was kept by members of those families. L'dairas. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik says, I come from one of those families, which was Sina'a, and that was from the Shevet Binyamin, and we had our holiday, the Gemara says, was on Yud B'Av, was their day of the Korban Etzim. One time, Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, so they were Docha Tisha B'Av, so that Tisha B'Av now came out on our holiday, because Yud B'Av was the day of Korban Etzim for us. So what we obviously they were doche it to the next day, right? So they made it on Sunday. But that was a problem for us because Sunday was a holiday. So what we did was we did fast. However, we were not mashlim the fast. Why were we not mashlim the fast? Because it was a yontif for us. So in other words, you see from here that it's only because it was a yontif for us. But on a normal Tisha B'Av, that's a normal day, Tisha B'Av comes out on Erev their yontif. And apparently they were mashlim. So then that means that even during the door of Rabbi Gamliel, they were in the same door over here. Not like you said before, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadik was in the same door, and he is saying that actually it was only that one time that we weren't mashlim, but normally in the year when Tisha B'Av came out, Erev Ar Yontav, we were mashlim. So you see that we were mashlim like Rabbi Yossi and like Rabbi Yeshua wanted to do, even in the door of Rabbi Gamliel. Says Ravina, I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, you're talking about being mashlim on a Shabbos? I mean, this is a private holiday. It's called a Yontif Derabbanan, and it doesn't have such a tremendous chashivas that it's going to be doicha the tainis. So shiny Yontif Shol Divrayim, that's not the same thing as being nichnas for Shabbos kishu umune, because I'll prove it to you. The halacha is that if you have a private holiday or any of these Yomim Tovim Derabbanan that are part of Megillas Tainis, the din is that you are allowed to fast for a couple of hours during that's a tiny shows. You're allowed to make a tiny shows on those days. So obviously, if you're allowed to be koveya a tinus for a couple of hours, so then certainly you're going to be allowed to be mashlim the tinus of Tisha B'Av for whatever amount of time, a half an hour or whatever it takes, at the beginning of the holiday. So of course, mashlim bo arviot, you'll take the erev yontev and you'll be mashlim into yontev, but not Shabbat. Shabbat erev ein mitanin bo shaot ein mishlami ba mashlim bo arviot. What's the comparison? So Rav Yosef was very surprised. He said, I don't remember this whole discussion that Ula said that the halacha is like Rav Yosef and that we went through these prices. Amar le Abaye, you told it to us. And I'll tell you where it was you told it to us. You told it to us when we were learning the Mishnah that says that Ein gozrin ta'anit ala tzibur b'rosh chadashim, and we said in Chanukah and Purim and so on. And we continued to learn over there that if what about if it came out that way and you had already started the machlokas mafsikin, ein mafsikin, and even if ein mafsikin, but ein mashlimim, that's what we were learning. So you said on that Mishnah, you said Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav, that this whole thing is said over the name of Rabbi Gamliel, and this was by Rabbi Meir, Sheomer Mishum Rabbi Gamliel, that you do not mashlim a tainus that happened to work out on Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, and Purim, but that is not lahalacha. It was only Rabbi Meir. But the Chachamim say, no, you have to be mashlim. Now, I'm assuming if you're saying that the Chachamim said that you have to be mashlim, and this is Rabbi Yossi, and we're calling him the Chachamim, because we're paskening like him, right? So then that means that all of the above was Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, and we added at the very end that the same thing is true on an Erev Shabbos. And now you're telling me that we don't paskin like that. It was only Rabbi Meir Shita. So apparently we are actually supposed to be mashlim. So then Rav was saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And we're calling them the Chachomim over here. Says Gemara, no, it does not mean the entire thing, all four cases. He was referring to Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh. He was not referring to Erev Shabbos. But to be nichnas the Shabbos kashul muneh, that's much more chomer. And so over there, you can't be mashlim. And it's much more reasonable to say that that's the truth. Because if that's not the truth, and Rav Yehuda was saying in the name of Rav, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that this is only the cheat of Rabbi Meir, even binogea Shabbos, in an Erev Shabbos, how do you explain the fact that when Rabba asked Rav Yehuda, he asks Rav Yehuda, what's the halacha? Am I supposed to be mashlim a tainus from Erev Shabbos on Shabbos? And what did Rav Yehuda say? I don't know. So how come all over here, all of a sudden, Rav Yehuda is paskening, he's quoting Rav. I mean, Rav Yehuda himself was one who quoted Rav, that the halacha is, supposedly, you're saying, that the halacha is all cases, Chanukah, Purim, and even Erev Shabbos. Then you're supposed to be mashlim. So why didn't he say that to Rabbah? Why did he say, I don't know, velo poshatle? So clearly he wasn't talking about the Shabbos case. He was only quoting Rab, benogea Chanukah and Purim. Seems clear. Says the Gemara, it does. It certainly does not seem clear. Because, I mean, if you're going to bring a raya from the fact that he didn't tell him the halacha at that time, so how do you explain the fact that Marzutra gave a drosha in the name of Rav Huna, and he said the halacha is like Rav Yossi, and that you keep the tainus even into Shabbos and all into the night. So I'll ask you the same question. How could Rav Huna be quoted as saying that the halacha is like Rav Yossi? I mean, after all, Rabba asked Rav Huna, am I supposed to be mashlim? That was the first one that he asked, right? And Rav Huna said, I don't know. And then he went to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda also said, I don't know. So how do you explain the fact? I mean, there you're not arguing. He says, Beferish, we're mashal on Erev Shabbos. How come he didn't tell him? Must be that one was said earlier in his life, and one was before he had heard from Rav, who was his Rebbe. So then the same thing is true of Rebbe Yehuda. Both Rebbe Yehuda and Rav Huna were Talmidim of Rav. So if Rebbe Yehuda is quoting Rav, and we know that Rav Huna was learning from Rav, so then obviously there was a point at which Rav had taught them, both of them. He taught both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. So at that point, both of them were paskening like Rav Yossi. At the point that Rabba had asked, what's the din, they didn't know. Maybe because Rav hadn't paskened that way yet, or they hadn't been mekabel that yet from Rav. But the point is that if you're going to have to explain Rav Huna, you might as well explain Rav Yehuda. So ha mikami de shama'a before Rav Huna heard it from Rav and Alabasa de Shama. It's very simple. So then you'll say exactly the same thing. If we understand that the Talmidim of Rav and Rav Huna was like the star Talmud, if Rav Huna hadn't heard it from Rav at one point and heard it from Rav later, then obviously that's what happened with Rav Huna also, who was learning by Rav. And Omekami de Shema'a, the Alabasa de Shema'a. And therefore, everything actually works out. And Mar Zutra, indeed, Darj Mar Zutra Mishmei, the Rav Huna, like we said, Halakha mit anim, umashlimim, you have to be mashlim entirely. Now, strangely, Tosfos says over here that Halakha mit anim umashlim only means if you want to, you can be mashlim, and not that you're mechuyev to be mashlim. And that the only question that was asked was, is it mutter to be mashlim? Not whether you're mechuyev to be mashlim. That's how he understands the entire sugya. We don't paskin like Tosfos, and we do paskin like Rav Yossi, that we're mis'anim and mashlimim as a chiyuv. Hadron alach b'chol me'arvim. So, Rabbi Sai, we were zeicha to actually learn now all of the dinim of the food, which is ra'ui, the definition of the food, the placement of the food, the relationship to the food, the being in the same mokum as the food, and what exactly all the different dinim would be as to your das, about the kinyan, and what the halacha is when we have longer periods than 24 hours, either because it's Yontav and Shabbos, or because it's the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and the differences between those cases, and the Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golios, and the question of Breira in terms of your das. So we have completed the perek of the Asiyas HaEruv in terms of an Eruv Tchumim almost entirely, even though Rashi claims that this works also for Eruv Chatzeres. Everybody argues on him, as we'll see later on. But now, we need to talk about the implications of a Tchum. In other words, we're taking for granted, okay, there's such a thing as a Tchum, here's how you make an Eruv. But what are the Dinim of Tchumim? Suppose you were outside of your tchum without an Erev, what happens then? So this perek introduces, and this is standard, remember, we've seen this in all the Masechtos. We first make the assumption that you know the fundamental dinim. Based on that, we give you the specific halachas of how to deal with it, and then we go into the details of the fundamental dinim. I mean, otherwise, since you would say, if you're going to present to me the halachas in a fashion which is meant to be like the Rambam would present it, I want to teach you all about Torah, assuming knowledge of nothing. So then this would be a rather strange way of teaching it. First tell me what a tchum is, and first talk about the dinim of tchumim, and then tell me how it is that I can make an Erev. But we know that the Mishnah is created not in that fashion, and that a knowledge of the psukim, in which a child would go through and understand the basic meaning of what is the picture that Torah gives you of the world, you know. Now we're telling you the Mishnah. The Rambam starts by telling you essentially everything that you have to know in order. So here, the Mishnah begins. What happens with a guy who was forcefully removed from his tchum? So Misha Tziu Nachrim, or Ruach Ra'ah. He can be forcibly, physically forcibly, or he can be forcibly by a psychotic episode. I mean, that's forcibly. In other words, it's not his das to leave the tchum. So the guy has a seizure or a psychotic episode. He goes running around. He ends up waking up and coming back to himself. Now he's not in his tchum. What's the halacha? He can only move in his arba amot. If those same events bring him back to where he was, yirziruhu, so that it's as if he never went out, because none of what took place with his own involvement. Now, suppose these goyim dragged him out, took him to another city, to a judge, and whatever, or his psychotic episode took him out to another city, or they throw him into an enclosure for animals, a deer or a sahar. So then the halacha is, any place that is enclosed by a mechitza is arba amot. So remember that that's the way we've been understanding throughout, that the Arba Amot, when you have a city that comes in terms of the measurement of your 2,000 amos for the tchum, that city equals arba amot. Now you continue to measure. The same thing is true in the yotze min hatchum. You have arba amot, but if you're in a city, that city is your arba amot. If you're in an enclosure, that enclosure is arba amot, no matter how large it is. Rashi seems to say, and most understand that that's what he means, that the city would have to be an enclosed city, which is not consistent with the way, remember, we talked about earlier, viewing an entire city as if it's mole, legabe de tchum. There we weren't talking about a walled city. So, I mean, basically, the halacha is that this is true of the city and not of the walled city. And it's defined the way that we define the tchum with the 70-plus amot after the last building. Okay. So there, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say, an area surrounded by a wall, that is to say, a mechitza of some kind, is mahalach es kula. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva say, no, it's exactly the same thing. Now, there was a maisa where these Talmidei Chachamim that we just mentioned were on a boat, and the boat, they were coming from Paldarnasi, and it was on an Erev Shabbos, and there they were, and the boat took off, taking them out of the tchum. And that means that at the beginning of Shabbos, they had a tchum in the port and in that city. And then, what's the din? So now they were removed from their tchum. What's the halacha? So Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva, consistent with their opinion, say that even though maybe this boat has mechitzas, it doesn't matter. It's like being in a city. And we said, even if you're in a city, you're stuck, and you can only walk your arba amot. So they indeed only walked arba amot, and they didn't move. So Masha Einken, of course, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who say, listen, the boat is all one thing. So they walked across the whole boat. Now, the idea over here is that they wanted, and this is a very strange statement, lo zazu mi arba amot shiratzu lachmir al atzma. What do you mean, shiratzu lachmir al atzma? That's what they held was the halacha. That's not shiratzu lachmir al atzma. That the Gemara is going to discuss later, because it seems to be a contradiction. Anyway, the other approach, or the other direction, also happened once, that they were on a boat together, and they were coming in to the port on an Erev Shabbos. And by the time they arrived in the port, we had this before, you'll recall, by the time they arrived in the port, it was already dark. So they asked Rabbi Gamliel, are we allowed to get off, or did we come mechutz l'tchum, and therefore we are stuck? Omar lahen, no. Mutarim atem. Shekvar hayiti mistakel, v'ayinu b'toch ha'tchum ad shelo chashecha. So the Gemara is going to explain that long before Galileo, Rabbi Gamliel had developed a telescope where he was able to focus and define the distance based on the focus. So in other words, he could tell where he had to move the lens to be able to see the port from where they were at the time of the shkia, and he could tell that they were less than 2,000 amot away based on the focus of his telescope. And therefore, because of that, he said to them, I know that we were within the tchum, and you can rely on that. And we are perfectly okay getting off, and we can be just like everybody else in the area. So Tana Rabbana, based on this, I mean, look at this Mishnah. A person does things that are not really up to him. There's three things. It's an amazing, amazing bright. There's three things that make a person do things that we find all the time, do things that are against his own interests and are things that he would much rather not have done. And yet he ends up with this horrible situation in which he lives in a way that he doesn't want to live. One of them is obvious from what we just said in the Mishnah, and that is that he is driven by Ovdei Kochavim. That's what happens here. So it was Ma'avir and Al-Daitai, and it goes against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon to leave the Tchum. The other is a Ruach Ra'a, saccadic episodes. Saccadic episodes, each particular era, attribute saccadic episodes to different things, you know. Nowadays, we attribute them to brain chemicals. Once upon, we used to attribute them to Freudian issues. And other times, they attributed them to shading, whatever it is. But we're very confused by psychotic episodes because, like, how is a human being acting so strangely? Why isn't his brain working? Fine, all right. That's the same thing as the evil spirit theory of disease or the various bios theory of disease or whatever. It doesn't matter how you actually understand it, but the bottom line is it's certainly a psychotic episode. And the other remarkable thing that causes a person to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself is dikdukei aniyut, and that is the way in which you are forced to live without money. And the need, the desperate need to be able to survive and get along will drive people to do things that they never would have done, to be dishonest, and to take all kinds of crazy risks, and to hurt their children and their family, whatever, but there's desperation. So desperation drives people to madness. And L'may nafkamina, so what are you telling me? I'm telling you a tremendous chiddush. L'miboy rachami alayu, so that you should always, so there's two different approaches to this, that you should always be mavakish rachami, for yourself, not to come to this matzav. And the other is, and I think this one is the correct one, fundamentally, that when you see people that are acting in this fashion, it's you have to daven for them and not blame them. You're saying this guy's dishonest, and you daven for them because they're being driven out of their minds. That's the point. So there's also shlosha ein ro'im pnei gehenem. There's three sets of people who suffer so much they don't need to go to hell. Their life is a hell. The Elohim, dikduke anias, poverty, chole me'ayim, these constant problems in digestion, which is miserable, and rashut. Rashut means that you're being driven crazy by the courts, you're being driven crazy by the government, the IRS is after you, your creditors are after you. You know, you just, it's hell. It's hell. You have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to hide. You have no way to live. The yesh omrim, others say, yeah, and what if you've got a bad marriage? That's not hell. That's obviously hell. So why don't you count that? The Edak, the other Shita holds, Ishara is your own fault, you idiot. Why don't you get rid of her? You want to live in hell? That's your problem. We're not going to sit there and daven for you if you want to live in hell. Mitzvah Lagarsha, you should have gotten rid of her. And so why does the Tana say that we do count it? Because it's not always possible to get divorced. Zinadiktuva Tamaruba. It may be that it's just, she's going to drag you through the courts and get every penny you own. I mean, you can't afford that. Inami itla banim inavalomati megarish. Or it could be there's kids and there's going to be all kinds of problems with the kids. And that's considered to be unavoidable agony. So that person lives in hell. And lamay nafkamina. So why do I need to know that? Because someone who's going through this hell needs to be mekabel, these yisurim mi'ava, because he should understand the difference that they make, that it's a complete kapara on him. There's also three types of people who will die in the middle of a sentence. In other words, you have no advance warning of death. So these are people that have serious problems in their digestive system, their chole me'ayim, and someone who just gave birth, who can suddenly hemorrhage and just drop dead, and people who are suffering from hadrokan, which, I mean, I think more, it's not clear the theory exactly what it is. L'may nafkemina l'mashmushe buhu zavdata. That's that they should prepare themselves for death. In other words, that it doesn't mean literally, but it's telling us to get the suitcases packed. In other words, they should understand how serious things are and daven properly and prepare themselves properly. Omrib nafun omrashmua. Getting back to our Mishnah, the halacha is that if you go out on purpose and the goyim didn't take you out, you only are allowed to move 4 amas. Says, what kind of crazy psak is that? Obviously, if even the goyim take you out, you didn't go out on purpose, you only have 4 amas. So if you go out on purpose, is there a suffix? Of course you only have 4 amas. So it must be what Reb Nachman said, that we were quoting his Maimer and Shmuel wrong. And that actually what Shmuel had said was, if the person went back on his own after the goyim took him out or after a psychotic episode, he doesn't get his rishos back. He only gets it back when the goyim brought him back. But there he still only has 4 amos. because he did an iser, and he doesn't get, we don't give back to him the right to walk. Well, that's also obvious. Is that the Mishnah says only in the case of hichziruhu nochrin kilu lo yatsaf, the goyim bring you back. So then it was as if you never left. But if you had come back on yourself, then obviously hichziruhu, it doesn't say if he himself goes back, that it's as if he never left. So if that's the case, we would certainly not say such a thing, only if they were hichziruhu. If he was hot to you and he went on his own, then of course, I don't need Reb Nachman to teach me that. Oh, that's true. Okay, so you know what? It must be like this. Maybe what Reb Nachman said was that if he went out Ladat and the Goyim dragged him back in, that he still only has Arba Amos. That's also obvious. I don't understand. The Mishnah says if the Goyim took him out and the Goyim brought him back, isn't that what the two cases are? So then, ki'ilu lo yatsar. You need both of those. Not that he left on purpose and the Goyim brought him back, and not that the Goyim took him out and he went back on purpose. So, both of them is necessary. Ki'ilu lo yatsar. Hotzi'uhu ve'ichziru. That's the only case to ki'ilu lo yatsar. But in either direction, if he was yatsar l'das, we would never have said this. So what's going on over here? Reb Nachman's quoting a halacha from Shmuel that has no meaning. No, it does, says Reb Nachman, because look, if you had read the Mishnah on your own, you wouldn't have heard about Shmuel. You might have thought that the Mishnah is talking about two different cases, not that the second case is continuing over what happened in the first case, that Hotziyu Nachrim. So in other words, the first thing we say, Hotziyu Nachrim, no matter what, in the Arba Amos. Whether you stayed out there, whether you went back on your own, you only have Arba Amos. Next case is Yatzal Adas. Okay, Hichziru Nachrim. So if the Goyim brought him back, even there, if you were Yatzal Adas, Kilu Lo Yatzal. Comes along Reb Nachman to tell me, no, that's not the case. The two cases are interrelated, and one is a continuation of the other, and therefore it's essential that it was both Hotziyu Nachrim and Hichziru Nachrim. If you're missing either of those, then you do not get back your original tchum. Now, this is a little bit crazy. A guy is stuck in the middle of nowhere, maybe with five other people, or in the middle of some type of a shopping area, and there's people all around. He can only move four amos, and everybody's around there, and the guy needs to go to the bathroom. What is he supposed to do? Will you tell me? I mean, let's be serious. We're telling him he's supposed to stay there all Shabbos long. And what? It's like these TV programs where nobody ever has to go to the bathroom, but whatever is going on, and I mean, it doesn't matter how many hours and days have passed, there's never a problem going to the bathroom. Let's be realistic about this. So what's the din over there? Hutzrachlin and the Kavav Mahu. Omar Lehem, that's not a question. We know that Godel Kovad Abrius, that it's Docha, Lotas Hashabat Torah. If the Chachomim, I mean, remember, the Gemara explained, obviously it doesn't mean Lotas Hashabat Torah, it means that the Lotas is Lotas Sura Yaminu Smo, from what the Chachomim tell me. So that means the Rabbanan is so Chomer, and the Rabbanan were Mevater because of the idea of Kovad Abrius, that it shouldn't be Pogay and Kovad Abrius. And therefore, of course, he's allowed to go to find a bathroom or to find a place where he could relieve himself. Amri Nardois, if this guy's got any brains, the place where he'll go to the bathroom is back in his original tchum. Because once he has rishus to go back in his original tchum, so then it would be the same thing as Yichziru Nochrim, and then he would get his tchum back, right? So Ayala tchum, he goes back into his tchum. Don't walk in the other direction. I mean, obviously, you can't walk as much as you want if you find a bathroom. But if there wasn't any bathroom, then you would be able to continue to walking on into your own tchum. But you'd be pretty stupid to go walking in another direction. And there, once he got in, kivan da'al, al, he came in with rishus, and coming in with rishus allows him to basically get back his tchum as if it would be hotzi'uhu nochrim.